Welcome back, everybody, to an all-new comedy at the Carlson Cast. It's carlsoncast.com if you want more information on that. If you don't, that's fine, too. Everybody,
it's not.
Today's special episode, number 86, it's Miss Nicole Byer with your special host, Rochester's bossiest bottom. It's Mr. Vinny Paulino, everybody.
Wow.
Happy Rochester Pride Month? I don't know. What's going on with that open?
Ross is energetic this morning.
Yeah, and a little mean.
Yes, yeah, throwing fire.
That is not mean. There's nothing mean about that. We are all sex and body positive here.
You're not allowed to call people bossy.
Sorry. Rochester's bottomiest bottom. It's very bottom. <now. laughs>
I don't like this.
He is kind of bossy, though.
Yeah,
yes. You're both fired. Welcome to the Comedy at the Carlson Cast Big Show. As you may have heard, Nicole Byer from Netflix has nailed it, is going to be here in the studio with us in just a little bit. Your questions have been pouring in, and I got to tell you, we've got about 15 of the same question from people, so that should be very interesting.
Is it, can we get cake?
We'll save it for later. We shall save it for later.
Where's the cake?
We have a lot of things going on, and a quick time to talk about them. I have to bring up the fact that we just set the finals for the funniest person in Rochester. Show my computer screen, Cameron. Here's what's going on next Wednesday night, July 17th, here at Comedy at the Carlson at 7:30 p.m. Mike Dambra, friend of the show, is going to be our headliner. We have a special guest appearance from last year's funniest person in Rochester, Cindy Arena. We have 10 contestants, Janice Nicole Glover, Alex Mallory, Eric Johnson, Justin Brown, Sarah Shipley, Chris Hessenauer, Sean Day, Kaylee Roderick, Brian McBride, and Sherelle Gator Kinder. And to top it off, right back to me. I want everybody to see my face so they know how serious I am, Cam. One of the coolest prizes ever. It's not just $1,000 in cash. There is a prize here for all 10 of the finalists. You know what that is?
Is it cake?
Nope,
not cake.
It is who our judges panel is. Because, Ross, we did something very cool here. We brought in the best judges we could possibly have for this. Some real
serious... best, top of the line.
Simon Cowell.
Like, no, Brian, no! Stop it. No, you ready for this? We've got Mark Ippolito from Comedy at the Carlson. What a get. Very hard
what
to get.
Absolutely.
What a get.
Very hard to get.
Lori Radney. She's the general manager and booker for the Funny Bone Comedy Club in Syracuse. And my man Sean Eckert, who is the GM and comedy booker for Helium Comedy Club in Buffalo. So all 10 of these people are going to have a very, very serious opportunity to show off what they can do for three of the biggest bookers in upstate New York. How about that, guys?
Woo!
How about that? So it's very, very exciting and slightly nerve-wracking, but that's going to be this upcoming Wednesday. Tickets are $20 at the door. We shall see you there. Now, we have to remind you very quickly that the text line is open, 585-484-0265 for your questions for Nicole Byer. Please try to send me something besides how do I get on Nailed It. That'd be good.
Literally, you can just Google that. And
there's a link right there.
Right.
It's
I don't have to ask
it's
for it.
It's not hard.
Yeah. I'm going to have to ask for these people because
call
a lot
Mr.
of people
Netflix.
Are asking this.
Yeah.
But
it's just
boy, there's a lot to talk to Nicole Byer about, folks.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot. Twitter wars.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to her about breaking the toilet off the wall in Chicago, if you follow her on Instagram.
Yeah.
That was quite the story.
Yep.
And not only that, we talked to her about Nailed It.
Yeah.
She's a busy lady.
A very busy lady.
Like, podcasts up the... She's busy. She's doing stuff. She's out there.
We didn't even mention her podcast, Why Won't You Date Me?
And Best Friends, I forget. She's got like three or four of them she does.
Hmm.
On a semi-regular basis.
Why don't you interview her then, Ross?
I will.
Because he would swoon and pass out.
I do love her.
You know what?
I pass out.
How offended would you be if I, like, for half the interview just switched Ross in for you?
Oh,
and just to give him, like, his make-a-wish.
We have to switch shirts.
Yeah.
So we have to change shirts.
So we don't split the color balance.
Hey, do you think she'd notice?
She might not. It's just like...
Like, if Brian just excuses himself real quick and goes out there and switch shirts with Ross and has him come in. And then Ross comes back in.
Billion sweaty white people just coming back and forth. Yeah.
Social experiment. I am willing to possibly try. If you want us to do that, send it to me in the text messages, 484-0265. I'm excited. I'm very excited to have her on here. So We got that, and we also have running the cameras back there, Cam and Joe. Hey, Cam and Joe.
What's
up? You can show yourselves. It's all right. We can see you guys. Just wave at the people.
There they are.
Yeah, look at our fearless staff.
There's a raccoon running by.
What is going on? We're going to be right back with Nicole Byer. Stay tuned.
It's out of control. Hey, everybody. We got lots of cool shows coming up for you at Comedy at the Carlson. Check out our schedule, which I will read to you now. We have Nicole Byer this very weekend. We have club favorite Mike Dambra, July 18th through the 20th. We have Pat McGann, July 25th through the 27th. The Hypnotic Chris Jones, One Night Only, July 26th. Yeah, Dalton Castle, One Night Only on July 27th. And Bobby Collins, August 2nd and 3rd. Joe DeRosa, August 8th through 10th. And on August 15th through 17th, Thea Vidal. Ron Funches, September 5th through the 7th. The hilarious Harlan Williams, September 12th through the 14th. And Vicky Barbalak returning November 21st to the 23rd. Pete Corelli, December 12th through the 14th. And if you need tickets, visit carlsoncomedy.com or call us at 585-4-COMEDY.
Joining us in studio this morning, you may know her as a comedian, you may know her as a talk show host, you may know her as a podcaster. Please welcome Nicole Byer, everybody. How are you doing today?
I'm fantastic. Thanks for having me.
It's such an early morning, but...
It's very early. That's why I'm not in drag. I'm not wearing a wig. I'm not wearing contacts. I'm wearing makeup from last night, and I'm dressed for bed, because that's where I'm going to go back to after I leave here.
I don't blame you one bit.
Yeah, it's well, all of us.
I'm going to do my best to make this painless.
No, it's fine.
Well, I mean, when you tour all over the country, you have to do press and media stuff
mm-hmm.
all the time. And when they say you got to go do the podcast, I'm sure that like your eyes start to roll the back of your head
a
little bit.
No, people love a podcast. I never roll my eyes at podcasts. People love them. Like, one of the reasons why my shows started selling out is because I started doing a podcast.
Why Won't You Date Me?
Yes.
Available where all podcasts are sold.
Yes, yes, yes. And then I have another one with my friend Sashir called Best Friends, where we took pictures to make it look like Friends, like the Friends art. But it's not about Friends. It's just about being best friends. It's very confusing, and I did that on purpose.
So do people like subscribe thinking like, hey, why aren't they talking about Chandler?
Well, some people have like tweeted, they're like, we were gonna listen, but we thought it was about the TV show Friends. But then I pitched, I was like, what about like every 10th episode we actually do review Friends and just never like talk about how it's different than the other episodes? It's very dumb shit that I'm doing. I just really love to tee-hee-hee. That's about it.
There's not enough Rachel on this podcast.
We need more tee-hee-hee in the world,
that's
I think.
That's what I think.
Yeah.
I'm totally with you on that.
Right? And then I have a 90 Day Fiancé podcast. Have you ever watched 90 Day Fiancé?
So I've seen clips of it because my wife has watched it.
It is so funny.
I have not even
heard
of this
before. It is the funniest show on television. It's so one couple, or one half of the couple lives in America, the other half lives overseas, and then they have to move to America, and they have 90 days to get married, or they have to go back to their country.
Wasn't there a whole season about April Macy?
About who?
No, just not friend April. No, April Macy, the comedian, her husband lives in Italy, and he can't get a green card to come over here, even though they're married, and they got to do that all the time.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Little inside baseball. I'm sorry.
Oh,
so keep going.
It's okay. No, that's the point of the show, and it's very silly. All the people are insane. And then their family members are like, what are you doing? And they're like, but we're in love. It's, I'm not selling it, but it's very funny.
I have to watch the show now. I'm actually intrigued.
I would start with Before the 90 Days and do an episode with Darcy and Jesse.
Okay.
They're very funny.
Darcy and Jesse.
It sounds like The Bachelor, except ice might kick the door in.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. It's honestly like anti-immigration propaganda, if you really look at it. But but I enjoy it and don't look at that aspect.
So, unfortunately, it probably has a rather large audience.
Oh, it's a huge audience. Like, TLC only really shows 90 Day Fiancé, My 600-Pound Life, and Dr. Pimple Popper. Like, that is it.
You know,
those are the three hit shows. And,
oh no, I was going to say the ghost shows. That's Travel Channel. Is the ghost shows?
Oh, yeah. I don't do the Travel Channel.
4th of July, I'm sitting next to my mom, and she says, "You know what show I like to watch? Dr. Pimple Popper."
Ugh.
I've never thought differently of a person more than my own mother, who I want to love. But, like, I moved over a chair, Nicole. I didn't want to sit next to her after she told me that.
It's fucking gross.
I wouldn't watch a show named that if it was about me. I still wouldn't watch it.
I don't believe him.
It grosses me out. It's just a nice lady who pops people's pimples. And then gets
no, that's a more than a nice lady. That's a more than a nice lady. Can we agree?
Yes, more than nice. It's disgusting. I would never.
He's the Mother Teresa.
I gotta wonder,
facial
like, to do
blemishes.
That job, you got to be getting a little something for yourself out of that, right? Like, you kind of got to be into it.
Well, some people like popping pimples, so maybe she's one of those people who like enjoys doing it. Like, my sister likes to pop pimples. She's disgusting. She's very sweet. I love her so much, but like. Some people just like, and they like to watch it. It's disgusting for me.
Mm-hmm,
and that's
mm-hmm,
a no. It's a nah for me, dog.
All right. Moving on. No more Dr. Pimple Popper.
No.
So podcasting's awesome. Stand-up's killing it right now.
It's doing pretty okay. I'm happy with it.
Well, did you start off doing stand-up, Nicole?
No. I started off doing improv and sketch, and then got this show on MTV called Girl Code, and then colleges were like, come do stand-up, and I was like, but I could come do improv, and they were like, absolutely not.
These children are paying for an education,
it's like,
and we will not
something tangible like jokes and not your make-em-ups.
Something that requires writing.
Something that you like thought about for more than 30 seconds. So then I started doing stand-up that way, and then really just like grew to love it. It's a fun way to get your little tee-hee-hees in without having to gather a group of people to do improv.
We've talked a lot on the show about the idea of how do you translate improv into stand-up. I think that it translates much easier that way, going from improv to stand-up versus
the
stand-up
other way
to
around.
Improv.
Yeah.
Yes.
Why do you think that is?
Because stand-ups have jokes. Like, they have jokes in their head that they've written, and then when they're doing improv as opposed to like listening, they're going for the joke.
Yep.
Where in improv, sometimes just reacting is the joke. And then the other way, I felt like I was cheating repeating jokes. So like, it would like really hurt me to like do the same 10 minutes night after night.
Mm-hmm.
And I learned that you have to do it. That's how you get good. That's how you finish a joke. But then you can like improvise within it. Like if the crowd is hot, then you get to improvise within it, and then you find more bits to the joke. It's fun. Stand-up is a very interesting machine.
It is a machine.
It is.
But improv's a bigger machine.
Yeah.
Because improv, you have to deal with, you know, not just yourself. You have to deal with, like, three or four other people or however many people you're in a sketch
and then,
with.
Sometimes you're on a team where you'll step out and you'll go, ooh, it's sunny out. And then your scene partner will go, it's nighttime. And you're like, cool, now I'm insane because I said it was sunny and it's night. Okay, cool.
Always trying to put themselves over,
aren't they?
Yeah. But,
isn't that the big rule is, like, you have to have somebody as the audience? Like, someone who's, like, someone on the stage has to be the audience.
Well, the biggest rule in improv is yes anding.
Yeah, that's...
So if someone's like, it's sunny out, you go, uh-huh, sun's bright. I don't know. you don't, like, just deny what they said. But you do... I feel like in stand-up as well, I think in comedy, somebody has to be the audience, and I think it's you. Like, when I tell a joke and the audience doesn't laugh, I go, why didn't they laugh? I don't go... Mm-hmm. You guys are stupid. That was funny. I go, well, there's a reason why in my head it was funny. There's a reason why when I said it to another comic, they laughed. There's a reason why you're not laughing. Now I got to work backwards and figure out why you're not laughing.
That's the machine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a very mathematical thing.
Yeah. And it's exhausting. But I really love it.
Yeah.
Do you ever, isn't it the weirdest thing when like you just tweak maybe the way you say a joke or a word or two?
Uh-huh.
It's amazing.
It's annoying when you tell a joke for like 7 months and then you put a pause between two words and then that gets a laugh and you're like, what the fuck? Why? Why does it work better now that I've put a weird little pause here?
I want out of this business.
Yeah.
I quit.
Yep.
You know, I have to say, you've had a very interesting career, but I'm very interested to find out, like, how you got into improv to begin with. Like, what about it attracted you? How old were you? Like, what was going on that got you going in that direction?
I was 21.
Okay.
I had gone to an acting conservatory, and auditioning wasn't, like, my forte. I wasn't very good at it. So I Googled, what do actors do when they're not acting? And I found an article that was like, improv. And I was like, oh, I guess I'll go do improv. So then I started taking classes at the Upright Citizens Brigade Theater in New York. And then everything just kind of snowballed. I was like, oh, I'm good at this. Like, I'm naturally good at this. Let me actually, like, figure out the mechanics of it and, like, get very good at it.
Yeah.
So that was my goal.
Just so everybody knows who's watching, the text line is open. Feel free to submit your questions, 585-484-0265.
Yeah, ask me a good question.
And I think, like you said, you realized you were good at it, so you decided to get very good at it. I think that's a very good way just to live life. Like, don't do stuff you're not good at. Just don't.
I mean...
Just accept,
yeah,
I'm not good at this, and do something else.
Yeah, and I feel like the world is just like, if you keep trying, you'll be better. And
yeah,
like,
not
well,
always.
You can just figure out what you're good at.
Yeah.
You know? If you knit socks, fucking do that.
Yeah.
You know?
Everybody's good at something.
Everybody loves a good pair of socks.
Yeah.
Yeah, good pair of
socks. Brian, if you try
knit
knitting,
socks.
You should go home and try knitting.
No, I don't think I've ever tried knitting.
So you wanted to be an actress or an actor. What?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, when I was in like high school, I decided that I wanted to be an actor. And then it's hard. I don't know how non-comedic actors do it because... the way you get seen in comedy is by doing shows.
Right.
So it's like, would I have to, like, go do, like, a Midsummer Night's Dream in, like, Venice? Like, how would you get... what do you...
Unfortunately, probably you would.
And that sounds awful.
Sounds dreadful.
Because at least I'm having fun where I'm like, please come see my show. But, like, it's... I'm doing comedy and I'm having a great time. You're going to laugh.
Yeah.
You don't have to, like, sit through something, like, unbearable. But, yeah, I wanted to be an actress and... And then doing it. I do a lot more stand-up this year. I've done a lot more stand-up than, like, acting stuff. But, you know, that's the life, if you will.
Sure.
Yeah.
But it's amazing, like, how many different worlds you've been able to explore. You know, acting, improv, stand-up. And you've had success in all of them. And television, too. I mean, it's amazing.
Yeah, it's fun. It's interesting because all of them are very different but similar muscles.
Right.
I... assume it's like the same thing with like I don't know, tennis and racquetball. Like, it's basically the same fucking thing but like different.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
So to go back real quick, just talk a little bit about your approach from like improv into stand up.
Mm-hmm.
How did you like start writing jokes for stand up? Like, was that hard for you?
Yes, and it's still really hard for me.
Okay.
So my first show I did like 5 minutes on my dead parents and very quickly discovered that like when you are, I guess I was 23 at the time, 24, everyone's parents are still living, so like nobody's really like identifying with you. So then like the next show I had to do was 30 minutes at Rutgers University, and my friend Emily Heller was there. And I was like, you should close because you've been doing this longer. And I know for a fact you're funnier than me and a better stand-up than me. And she's like, you're on TV. They're here to see you. So, like, you're going to do fine. And I was like, okay. So I, like, got on stage and she sat, like, right in the front row and was just, like, giving me the thumbs up to be like, keep going. You're doing well.
So how do they die? Good job.
I didn't do any of my dead family stuff. Because those are college kids. They would truly be like, what?
Oh my God, that's right.
My checks will stop coming. This is terrifying.
But I just like started framing like sketch characters, and I was very bad. Like, I still have that 30 minutes, and I listened to it recently. It was very bad. It was very bad stand up. Not bad comedy, but like fundamentally bad stand up. And then I started doing shows in LA. Like, I would do like 2 shows a night, 5 nights in a row. Just trying to like make 10 minutes work. So then I had 30. I would say 10 was good in the beginning. So then I would build up another 10. So then I have like a good 20. Then I have a good 30 and then good, you know, 35, and then fill the rest with like crowd work to like make an hour happen.
Mm-hmm.
So like most people will do an open mic and get like 5. Get really good at that 5. maybe get good at the 10, maybe do like a TV set, throw away that 10, build a new 10. I like had to start with like 30 minutes and then whittle it down to like good stuff.
Because you had to go backwards because you were on television and people wanted to hire you.
Yes. And there's like a grace period when you're on TV. You can be bad at stand-up for, I say, at least 6 months after your television debut. But like, if you are not working to get better, like, audiences become less forgiving after a while. They're like, oh, they're not very funny. And you're like, I wasn't working. But I don't like to not work. I like to be funny. I like to be good.
Yeah. You strike me as the kind of person who just likes to have fun wherever you are. And I appreciate that. I really do. I really appreciate that. Because life's too damn short and we need more like just let's laugh at the dumb shit.
I just think life is too long. That's why I laugh.
Can we talk about your dead parents while you're here?
Yeah, sure. Why not?
Let's bring it all down.
Black Little Orphan Annie.
I didn't know you could sing.
No, I can't. I was kidding. Right. I wish I could sing. I look like I can sing.
You sound like you could sing.
That's what people say, but I can't. Yeah. Tone deaf.
Can't do a little bit? Can't sing a little bit?
I took a class with Catherine McAfee's sister. Do you know who she is?
She was on American Idol, right?
Sister does singing lessons in L.A. And I took one, and she was like, you do have a voice. It's deep down inside. I do not know if I'm the one to, like, bring it out. And I was like, okay.
So she basically washed her hands of you.
Pretty rude.
But I'm paying you. What?
Like, very rude. Yeah, I'm very tone deaf.
So starting off on TV and then going into the world of stand-up, you know, acting and stand-up are also kind of similar but very, very different.
Mm-hmm.
What brings you the most joy? What do you like to do the most?
Oh, boy. That's, like, such a hard question because it's truly apples and oranges.
Right.
Because I love acting.
Mm-hmm.
Acting is it's hard. It's hard to make someone else's words your own.
Mm-hmm.
Also, you do not get instant gratification. You'll do these scenes over and over and over again. You're like, I don't know if that's fucking funny at all. But then at the end of the day, when the cameramen say goodbye to you, or they're like, you're funny, that's when you know you did good.
Yeah.
Because camera operators see everything.
Yeah.
So if I can get a camera operator to laugh, I'm like, okay, I'm funny. And then stand-up is instant. You say the joke, they're right there with you laughing. And that feels so good.
Yeah, it's my favorite thing about
improv,
it, too.
Improv, I love improv. I don't know. It's all a real treat and a dream that I get to do any of this stuff.
Well, when you got your own sitcom, when you had Loosely Exactly Nicole.
Yes, R.I.P.
Now, do you have a new... Is it done? There's not going to be another season?
No. Yeah, R.I.P.
Really?
Facebook, I don't know what Facebook is doing with their like original content. I feel like they only have a couple of shows.
Yeah, they
still
trimmed it way down.
Yeah, so...
I have another friend who did a show with Facebook, and he had the same kind of problem where everything just kind of, from them, seemed to just kind of fizzle out.
Yeah, it's... I won't talk shit about them, but I think they're just trying to find their footing in the TV world. And, I don't know, it's a big pool to be in, so I don't know.
It's a very funny show. It was very well made.
It was very good.
I watched a bunch of episodes of it this week. I had a really good time watching it. If you haven't seen it yet, it is on Facebook, and that makes it free. Mm-hmm. So check it out.
Free to you?
But I have to ask, Netflix want anything like that? You think you work something, move it over there? Do you own the rights to it? Who owns it?
I actually don't know who owns the rights to it.
Interesting.
But I think being on two networks, like, I'm done with that specifically. And then I think I'm done with, like, that story in my life. I would like to do something else, and I'm, like, you know, working on shit. I just have to, like, stop touring. It's hard to be home for 3 days and then on the road for 2 days and then, like, write. And
yeah.
It's a little hard.
Well, Netflix kind of owes you one, though.
Yeah. Netflix owes me something. No, Netflix has been so kind to me. But I mean, that would be the first place I would go because they've been so kind to me.
Yeah. But, I mean, you've given them a big smash hit, so.
Yeah.
It's a pretty
people
popular
love
show.
They love Nailed It.
People do love it. It is wild.
I will admit, I hadn't watched it until leading up to this, and I sat down with my wife to watch one episode, and I watched three. It's addicting. It's a very funny,
silly show.
And you're just so natural in it.
Hey, thank you.
It just doesn't seem like you're working.
Oh,
you know,
it was a lot of work.
Yeah, but I'm sure it was, but it doesn't look like it.
Well, in the beginning, they didn't know what they wanted, so they would. And I'd never hosted a show like this before, so they would just be like, "Here, just stand here and say what's on the prompter." I'd be like, "Okay," and I'd be like, "Say it one more time." I'd be like, "Well, what's the note?" And they're like, "Just say it again." So I was like, "I don't."
That's so not helpful.
It was not helpful at all, and I would cry every day on my way home because I was like, I don't know if I'm funny. I don't know what this show is. I'm on camera for 10 hours a day, and nobody's telling me anything.
When they first pitched you the show, what did they tell you it was?
They didn't know what it was. They were like, we want to do a show about Pinterest fails. Mm-hmm. And have people recreate stuff. And this is, like, we had a test kitchen. This is what we had people recreate. And then we would want you to, like, come in, steer the ship a little bit, and then, like, kind of make fun of them, but not hurt their feelings.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been, like, a tough road to
teeter.
That's a teeter.
Tall order.
You do
that's
a good job order. Of walking yeah. that tightrope, though.
But I think it's because I genuinely like the things people make.
Yeah.
Because they're so funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have to kind of, you can't be too mean.
No.
You can't be like, what were your parents, siblings? What is this you brought me? You can't do that.
Because people will cry.
Yeah.
There was a girl the first season who cried. And then I wear like an IFB, like an earpiece. And in my ear, they were like, make her stop.
And I was like, just hold her down?
What?
Did you just throw a glass of water in her face?
Well, I just started crying at her. And then she was like, what are you doing? Like a baby? You know, like if you cry at a baby would be like, what the fuck is this?
Are you saying you looked at her and went, wah.
No. Just like checking. A real cry.
Just checking.
Like I like welled up and like started to actually cry to confuse her. I was like, I don't know what to do. What do you mean make her stop? This
That's
is a grown
pretty
woman.
Slick. That's a pretty quick idea.
Improv, man. It's like you're just, I don't know. And then you can't go, what do you mean make her stop? Because you can't.
Yeah.
I mean, I could because I tell the contestants that I talk to them in an earpiece,
right.
So it's not weird. Because otherwise, I'll be like, I'll be having a conversation. I'll be like, and you want me to do what? Uh-huh. Okay. So.
I'm not a crazy person. I have an earpiece.
It's so weird.
Yeah. So there's only been one crier, huh?
One crier and one lady who got close to crying.
Okay.
But then we just like, I like saw it and I was like, okay, here, we'll say something fun.
That's really tough though, because you don't want to hurt people's feelings.
No, and people keep saying, why don't you do it? Kids nailed it. And I'm like, oh, you want me to try to like joke with a child about something they earnestly made? No. No, that would be a disaster. Like it would just be them crying all the time.
Yeah. I remember when
you're
I made my dad.
He's
going to
be creating monsters.
Yeah.
I made my dad a macaroni necklace and I found it in the garbage like 3 days later.
Oh,
and it was just like,
raw.
Well, I was like 14, so I don't blame him.
Oh my god. Okay.
But
I felt bad, and now I do not.
Not even a little.
I think one of the most valuable players on that show is the photographer that you don't see when you're doing it, but when you go and watch it back, when they put the side-by-side pictures, it's like when they open it and they show it, it looks bad. But in the photo, when they put it side-by-side, it always looks so much worse.
I got to say, the editing on the show is incredible.
It's great.
Spot on.
The
it's
editors are real great.
It's got to be horribly difficult.
Because
you have, what, six people without scripts.
Well, there's a script, but, like, I don't, the editors couldn't possibly use the script, because half the time I don't say what's on the script.
Yeah.
But I think there are there's eight cameras.
Wow.
So
that's
like,
a big shoot.
It's a lot. It is a lot.
But they're like the overhead cameras over the stations and stuff. Are you counting
those?
So
there's three cameras in front of each contestant, and then there's three cameras on us.
Right.
And then there's a jib. The jib circles around, and then there's like another aerial camera like around. It's a lot. It's crazy.
They got like a drone in there for an aerial camera? What are they doing?
I wish there was a drone. That would be very funny. No, it's like a stationary aerial camera. That's
okay.
Like, almost like a, like in a store or something.
Okay.
It's like a real watchdog situation. What do you think, I'm going to steal candy?
I was teasing the viewers earlier because we got a lot of questions for you, and everybody asked the same question.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
Do you want to guess what it was?
Have you fucked Wes? No?
No, it wasn't. No, but have you?
But since you brought it up.
No, he's married.
Yeah.
Okay. That was, someone asked that at the radio show I just did.
Really?
Yeah. Let's see. What's the question that people kept asking?
I'll go with the first person who asked it. Bobby Jean Bryden. She asked, she said, so excited to see you tonight, Nicole. How do I be the next contestant on Nailed It? Everybody wants to know how to get on the show.
You could email nailedit@magicalelves.com.
Love
that's
it.
The email for casting. And I have no control over casting. I don't.
Yeah.
Well, no, or
Brian, there you go.
Well, I got to take all that cash home then, I guess.
So. Yeah, get that suitcase out of here, guys.
Yeah.
Brian is
that truly the only question people ask?
It's the big one. It really is. I'm like looking through here. I've got like 12 of them. It's like, how do I get on Nailed It? Are they casting for the next season of Nailed It?
You don't want to go on Nailed It.
That's what I thought.
You don't. It is a, for me, it's a 10-hour day. I think for the contestants, it's like a 14-hour day. And then you are cooking all day.
Yeah.
And you're hot. And there's a woman screaming at you. You don't want it. I don't. It's funny because sometimes people are so excited in the beginning of the day. And by the end of the day, they're so sad. And I'm like, yeah, you didn't want to come here.
My wife really wants to, so I'll make her watch this clip.
She does
back.
Not
of course, she
come.
Watches every episode of the show, but I'll make sure she watches this one.
Your social media is hysterical, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
It's some of my new favorite. Can you pull up my computer for me real fast there? Pull up my computer for me, Cam. This is my favorite thing I've ever seen. This is you rocking a split. I would be dead if I attempted this.
Quite impressive.
Thank you.
That is the most crazy thing I've ever seen. Because I hurt watching this. I fall down a lot.
When was this?
Oh, gee. This is, today is Friday. This is Tuesday.
Yeah, wow. This is from this week.
Yeah, Tuesday. It was Wednesday? Tuesday. I don't know.
Just watching your social media is a blast. There was a situation that happened in Chicago. You want to tell us about that?
Broke a toilet. Fully out of the wall.
Hold on. There's the picture. There's the picture. Throw it up there.
That's an awkward call to the front desk.
Yeah, fully broke it. It happened June 15th. A day I'll never forget.
The day which shall live in infamy.
The day after Flag Day.
The day after Flag Day, you know, the toilet went down. I had just done a power hour, which is a shot of beer every minute for 60 minutes.
I'm familiar with the procedure.
I was very drunk and was just like giving that toilet my full weight, and it said, no, thank you. And then on Twitter, there's a longer picture. You can see like my footprints away, and then that I turned around. And I remember when I turned around, I was like, can I lie about this?
It was just like this
and
when I came
in. The answer was like, no. People heard porcelain shatter. Like, you have to explain what happened. It was funny, because my one friend Marcy, who's also fat, was like, I would never have, like, copped to it. And I was like, I mean...
How do you not?
I had to, one. Two, it's pretty funny.
It's funny.
Like, it's very funny.
You weren't injured in any way, right?
Oh, my knee. I hurt my knee a little bit.
Oh, I forgot to ask, are you okay?
So funny.
For the worst, everybody's laughing.
No, it's fine. Like, I just, like, kind of hurt my knee. And it was just funny, because I was like, maybe I'll tell the story on stage. And I was like, how would I get into it? And I was like, oh, I can say, you know, I have a little bit of an injury. Most people get hurt, you know, working out. I got hurt because I was ejected from a toilet.
Just like, violently ejected from
truly,
a toilet.
Truly, it was very violent. I was airborne. I've never been airborne before.
If you had to describe the noise that you made when it happened, was it like a, ah!
No, I just
went. Or would you use silent shock it off?
It was pretty silent. It was just a, oh. And then after I, like, saw
I wouldn't
that it
go
was
quietly,
broken.
Nicole.
You wouldn't go quietly.
No,
I think you would.
He's fallen.
I think it is shocking.
He's been talking to me on the cell phone twice and fallen down
really?
As he was on the phone.
I am a clumsy.
He does not go.
Yeah, but
he
like,
does not
falling
go quietly.
Is different than breaking a toilet. Like, I'm telling you, it is so shocking. And then. Because, like, you're sitting there, and, you know, it's like, great, and then you're not.
And then you're just ass akimbo on the floor.
And then, like, right after I fell, I went, the water, and I shut off. I, like, shut off the water to the toilet.
Cause the water was spraying everywhere?
Well, because I was like, it's going to flood.
Oh, that's fantastic.
It's... It's the whole thing.
Did you wash your hands?
Yes, I did wash my hands, even though I was covered in toilet water, and then had to go do a show. Like, I did a show wet. Like, it was... It was awful. But it was very funny. I, like, called my friend, and I was like... I broke a toilet out of the wall. And she went, what do you mean? And I was like, I fully broke a toilet out of the wall. And she was like, I don't know what you did.
Out of anger?
Like, yeah. Yeah, she like couldn't understand it. Was it a rage of fury? Yeah, but yeah, broke a toilet. And every time I see a toilet, I go, this is a challenge. I take it on. I'll break this one too.
I love it.
The war on toilets.
Uh-huh.
The war on toilets is real.
They have it coming.
America. So, were you flattered that John Cleese watched your stand-up special?
Yeah, it's very funny. I love that he's seen my special, and I've never seen anything he's ever done.
You've never seen a Monty Python?
No. No, I didn't grow up in a Monty Python family.
Sure.
And then I just, like, wasn't interested when I was...
I'm sure your parents, if they were still with us, would have shown you Holy Grail, maybe.
No.
No, okay.
No, I don't think so. My sister's never seen them, Monty Python. Like, I don't know. We just weren't a Monty Python house. But he was just real shady to let me know that he watched it.
Yes, he was.
It was so funny because it was like a tweet that was obviously about me. So then I, like, responded. I was like, I think you subtweeted me. And then he was like, well, if you're the comedian I'm talking about, I was like, if you got Netflix, my name's on the screen. You know who I am. I don't know who are you? You wanted it. I have it. You're very jealous, and I love it.
He really was jealous. For those of you who don't know, I'm trying to pull up the tweets. I give him his exact statement, which is what he deserves to have thrown back in his face because it's pretty shitty. You can show it right up on my screen, Cam. I got the article up here. He was sour graping. Legendary John Cleese.
Yeah, legendary.
He is a legend. I sure. mean, he is.
He's also legendary for being a bit of a prick.
Yeah,
too.
Certainly is.
Yeah, apparently he's racist.
Is he?
I've heard that from a couple people. Yeah.
I have not heard that, but what he said about you, I totally buy it now.
There were four specials. Three were three white dudes, and one was a black woman. I'm the only one he talked about.
Never mind.
The man's fucking racist.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm trying to find the tweet, but basically he said... did he refer to you as a plump black woman? Is that the words he used?
Not plump. He said jolly. He was jolly. Like, a jolly black woman had a routine about being so fat she couldn't find her vagina.
A jolly old black woman!
Which, like...
however he talks.
However he talks with that English accent. And then he was like, Netflix is only interested in comics who, like, post bikini pictures, which is like something I do. And I was like, yeah, he's fully talking about me. And then like someone tagged me in it. And I was just like, never in my wildest dreams did I think I would get into an argument with John Cleese on Twitter. But
there it is. I found the tweet, Cam. Sorry, we're so unprepared.
Oh, no, it's fine.
A hugely likable and jolly young woman did a highly original routine based on the fact that she was so fat that she couldn't find her own pussy. My only disappointment was that when I approached Netflix in December, I had not known the sort of material they were looking for.
Yeah.
What a sour grape thing to write.
Yeah, it's so funny to me because I'm like, you've got a ton of money. Self-release it. Yeah. I don't know. You've got so many people. And then he was trying to say that he was like lifting me up or whatever. And I was like, oh, if you were actually lifting me up, you would have put my handle for your thousands of followers or millions or I don't know. I was like, you weren't lifting me up. You were truly beating me down. And then he like involved his daughter, and then she was just like, this family.
Did he throw the card of, oh, I wasn't insulting you, I have a daughter?
No. He said that he suggested his daughter because she was much more original than me. And I was like, cool. I love it. Like, this is really fun.
Oh, stop being a stage dad, John.
Yeah, it's like, She'll get hers when it's time.
It's such a weird thing to wake up to one day.
It's so strange.
Yeah.
And I was truly like, why am I the, out of every Netflix special, why me? I was like, I was running out of ways to promote my special, and I was like, this is perfect.
Yeah, that's good. It worked out for you. But that's got to be your phone buzzes and go, what the fuck?
Oh, it was very funny. I was in Santa Monica. I just come from an audition. I like read it, and I was like, what is happening? And I texted a friend. I was like, I think Tom Cleese hates me. And then we were like, it was me and my friend Sashir and my other friend Mateo. We were trying to like analyze the tweets to be like, is this a compliment? And we're like, nah, he's being shady. Then we found like more, and we're like, oh no, he's definitely being shady. It was very silly.
That's hilarious.
He's a silly little man.
That's pretty good.
I'm John Cleese, and I'm a silly little man.
He's very tall, though.
Yeah, he's actually quite
large.
I'm
John Cleese. I'm really tall, but I have a little man syndrome. Have you seen the video of that little man in Bagel Bar?
Hell
yes,
yeah.
I did. That was so great.
Hell yeah. Have I seen it?
It's me.
Watch it four times on the way in.
It's maybe my favorite video of right now. It's so... Apparently, there's more videos of him being angry.
So but, that little dude, he's 5 feet tall or whatever, just freaked out in a bagel shop. I would play it, but I'd have to go find it. He just lost his mind screaming about how girls reject him because he's short. And then some dude just puts him right down. Highly recommend
it. In a chokehold. Yeah. Like, tackles him in a chokehold. Come at me, bro. You're not my father. You're not God. You're not my boss. I love him so much. I think he's so funny.
But you know what? The bagel was delicious. He still gave the place 3 stars.
And I heard Ron Bennington talking about it the other afternoon, and his comment was, worst bar I've ever seen.
I love it.
Definitely. I mean, who's got the balls to start? Well, crazy people. Never mind. The answer is crazy people. Why do we let crazies in bagel shops?
I don't know. They should stay at Arby's.
But I want to know what he was saying before she started filming. That's what I want to know.
Well, I'm guessing it was probably a rational conversation about how he's been using Tinder and how it's been going for him.
The Middle East.
It's so funny. I love him.
It was like, I'm sure the conversation started with something like, hey, little guy, would you like a bagel?
Honestly,
like,
maybe.
That's the only thing I could think of that would start that whole thing to go that crazy.
Here you go,
like,
little fella.
It was just something so completely condescending and awful.
Ugh, I love it. He could find just like a nice little lady.
He just might.
Or a tall lady. Oh, now I don't think he's going to find anybody.
The only people... You know what, though? People wanted to bang Charlie Manson. He was in jail. Charlie freaking Manson had dates.
You're right. This man will probably be married by tomorrow. I mean, men have to do very little for women to go, that'll do.
In 15 years, we're going to be watching an episode of Dateline with the woman
probably.
Who married him.
She's like, I just saw the video and I liked it.
She's just gonna be sitting there.
Now he's buried in a shoebox in the backyard.
She's just dead eyes going, and I knew right then he was the one for me. When that man attacked him, I knew I had to protect him forever until he wouldn't stop screaming at me for 10 years. And now he's dead. Good stuff. Nicole Byer, thank you for coming in this morning.
Thank you for having me.
You are just a delight, and I can't wait for the rest of your shows.
Thank you.
4 more this weekend. You get your tickets
now.
4
more.
CarlsonComedy.com. Call 5854-COMEDY. And we'll be back with the news with Ross Johnson. But make sure you come see Nicole this weekend. She's going to get, you know, she's big time. She's big time. She might not be coming back.
Yeah,
get in here now.
Baby.
It's terrible.
She's big time. She might not come back.
In the nicest way possible. We'll be back with the news with Ross. Hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning in to the Comedy at the Carlson Cast. I want to say thanks to our great friends. How about Chef Joe over at Sapori Cafe and Catering? They're located inside of the Powers Building Atrium downtown and have the best lunch specials you're going to find in Rochester. And to top it off, they could cater your very own special event. Visit at Sapori Rochester on Instagram and find them on Facebook for more information. You could also check out our good friends over at Three Heads Brewing. Jeff and the boys over there make the finest beers you're going to find this side of the Genesee River. And they also have an amazing, amazing brewery with live music just about every night of the week. Check out threeheadsbrewing.com for more information there. And we also want to say thanks to our friends at Iron Smoke Whiskey. Always remember to drink responsibly, but they make delicious stuff. They make Rattlesnake Rosie's Apple Pie Whiskey and a traditional Applewood Smoked Whiskey. Visit ironsmokewhiskey.com or you can visit their tasting room on Parse Avenue in Fairport. So thanks, sponsors. Now it's time for a show. Thank you for being awesome and watching another episode of the Carlson Cast. Don't forget we're streaming live on Facebook and YouTube every Friday morning. You could also follow us on social media on Twitter and Instagram at CarlsonCast. You can listen anytime on iTunes, Google Play, and we're now available on Spotify. You should also check out an amazing app called Laughable. And on the Laughable app, you can connect to your favorite comedians in a way you never thought you could before. Download it in the App Store and visit CarlsonCast.com for information on more shows. And don't be a jerk. Rate and review. Oh, boy, it's that time of the show where we indulge Ross and make him act like and pretend he's a journalist.
We make him feel worth something.
Wow, that was mean.
Yeah, he's been mean this morning, though.
No, he hasn't. Ross has been perfectly pleasant.
I almost complimented you. He said something about Vinny's bottom.
And then he changed it.
Changed it to somebody else.
So tell me you got something really good and exciting and happy we could start the news off with this morning.
Of course I do.
All right, lay it
on
me. If
you hate Rip Torn, this is a good day.
Oh, God.
Yeah. That was very sad.
Rip Torn died, yeah. So not a stand-up or anything, but he died at 88, which is a fairly good run.
A ripe old age for a guy who was drunker than a barrel of whiskey.
Just 8 years ago, he was Robin Banks, and now he's gone.
88, yeah. I mean, 88 years old is a pretty good run for a hard-living guy like that. Comedy-wise, of course, he was best known as Artie on The Larry Sanders Show, for which, this was impressive, he won... he was nominated for 6 Emmy Awards. He won an American Comedy Award, 2 Cable Ace Awards. So he had a good run, that guy.
One of the best characters ever written for television.
Yeah.
That Artie was just a fantastic
character.
I still
to this day always say, make me a salty dog.
I think a lot of people do a lot of Rip Torn. I think there's a lot of like Rip Torn. I think people don't even know like what quotes they're doing sometimes. Like people who haven't even seen the show will do like Rip Torn impressions.
Yeah. Yeah. Are your flakes crispy in the milk? Say that to my kids every time they eat cereal.
Yeah, well, great.
So I guess it's just Jeffrey Tambor now, like, holding the...
Jeffrey Tambor!
And he's not holding up well, apparently.
Apparently not. So, good news, though. So apparently there was some confusion on Twitter because I guess people forgot who Rip Torn is. Rip Taylor, who people thought was Rip Torn, not dead.
Hey, good. He's a treasure.
Everybody.
We don't need you doing imitations of him.
He's 84. He's still got a handful of.
You're telling me Rip Torn was older than Rip Taylor?
Rip Torn was older than. Yeah, you would not believe that, right?
So no,
yeah,
I wouldn't.
Rip Taylor never in a million years.
I think I read that like Rip Torn didn't start acting until he was like in his 40s or something.
I think that's true. Yeah, he started late. But
look at that beautiful, beautiful head of hair on that Rip Taylor.
Yeah, that's not the most recent picture. Although that's also probably not real hair. So
sure, sure.
But God bless him, I say.
Hell of a ring.
Yeah.
Soft eyes.
So okay, so. Moving on to better stuff. So Mark Normand, who was just recently on, like a couple months ago.
How about this story?
Yeah. So, this was over
episode 83, our pal.
Yeah, so over the July 4th weekend, Jerry Seinfeld was at Citi Field for Seinfeld Night, which is, I guess, a thing that happens if you're Jerry Seinfeld.
It's a night about nothing.
Yeah.
It's a Mets game.
Celebration of 30 years since Seinfeld debuted. So I guess if you were there for the premiere of Seinfeld, you are very old now. But he was asked,
you're not Rip Torn old.
You're not Rip Taylor old. He was asked who are like, up and coming comedians, who are the people you like, who are the people. And he gave a big shout out to Mark Normand. He said, there's a young guy out there named Mark Normand who is not broken yet, who I've met and I've talked to. And he said he likes, he likes his stuff. He likes the guy. He likes Mark Normand's sort of deep knowledge of comedy history. He said, when I talk to them about Buddy Hackett, they know who I'm talking about, or Rickles, they know Klein, knows the heritage of the profession. He likes people like that. So he's, he gave a big shout out to Mark Normand, who was thrilled and is very excited about that. Obviously, I mean, why wouldn't you be?
Do you know how many comics that, like, Jerry talks to a lot of young comics, and a lot of people that have been here have told me they have, like, a little bit of a relationship with him. Mm-hmm. And I imagine they all put a gun in their mouth simultaneously when he brings up Mark Norman in that booth.
Well, you sort of wonder, like, not to discount Mark
Norman. Ryan Hamilton!
Well, you know, you sort of wonder if it's a little bit of luck of the draw. Like, obviously, you know, I'm sure Seinfeld's familiar with who's out there. So, does he have a list of, like, 5 or 10 up-and-coming comedians that he sort of knows?
And no, Norman and Norman are recently friends.
He told us a little bit about it, didn't he?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, like a month or so before he was here, he kind of just started meeting him. So, I mean, that's amazing for him.
Yeah, and a high compliment, you know. Great for his career, but also a high compliment.
No fooling.
Yeah.
No fooling.
Tens of people heard it watching the Mets.
Good stuff, Cam. Tens of people are watching the Mets.
Okay, right, so just real quick, we talked about Tracy Morgan. He's had his ups and downs, you know, over the past few years, but he recently had the incident with the new car he bought. Mm-hmm. We talked about that a week or two ago. So he hosted the ESPYs this past week, and I thought it was kind of cool because the ESPYs raised money for the V Foundation for Cancer Research. So he talked about how he was doing it primarily for that because he had grandparents and his former wife who died of cancer. So he was
excited to do that.
Yeah. I didn't watch it because I don't care about sports, but got some mixed reviews, I guess, for what he did. But I'm sure they raised a whole ton of money. So
with athletes,
sports. What are you, Ross?
Is that they either can take a joke or absolutely cannot.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Ross. I would play a game with you real quick about the ESPYs.
Oh, boy.
I want you to guess categories at the ESPYs, like what you would win an award for. Give me, like, your best guesses for, like, categories.
So there's best pitcher.
Best catcher.
Uh-huh. most effective basketballing.
Uh-huh.
And, mm-hmm. Lacrosse.
It's 100% right.
It's probably not right. Far
is that the awards? Yeah.
Yep. You got it.
They do have lacrosse. Too many categories.
Best lacrosse.
No. Don't be so down on yourself about not knowing sports. You sir really got it nailed.
I feel like
that was good.
I feel like I know more than I think I do. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. What else?
So,
you got?
So this is a little bit. This is sort of comedy adjacent. But we talked a couple weeks ago about the new Ukrainian president, who was a comedian who mm-hmm. ran on the party.
Still can't say his name.
After his show. Yeah, I'm not even going to try this time because there's a new one. So so he ran on a ticket named after the comedy show that he was on where he played a Ukrainian politician and became president
what
of Ukraine.
What was the name of the show?
I don't remember. I don't have it here.
Pretends to be a journalist, folks.
Yeah.
We weren't lying.
Listen. I'm not here to be grilled. So I did the sports thing. What do you want? So he's got some competition. So they've got parliamentary elections coming up. There's a new party named after a band called ESPYs River, whatever that means. I assume it's a Ukrainian euphemism. But there's a very – this is like a huge rock band in Ukraine.
No, it's just a river.
It might be just a river.
Yeah.
So this is a huge – I don't know from Ukraine, but so this is a huge rock band. This is like the U2 of Ukraine. I mean, they're like venerable, like they've been around forever. So the lead, Sviatoslav Vakarchuk, which is, I think, is very close to the actual pronunciation. He's started a party named after his band, and they're running in the parliamentary elections and sort of against the president's comedy party with their rock and roll party, and mm-hmm. expected to do quite well in the July 21st upcoming election. So. I don't know what's going on in Ukraine, but it's entertaining from here.
If there's one thing Vinny and I know, it's that bands and comedy don't mix well.
No, they do not.
They do not mix well. Don't
it's
put them
be a
on the same
down,
show.
Yeah.
It's not going to go good.
Could you imagine if somebody tried that here?
I'm running.
I can at this point. I absolutely can.
Yeah, it's true. Like
I'm running
Ted
on the
Nugent.
Scorpions ticket.
Scorpions ticket.
I'm running on Ted Nugent's Cat Scratch Fever Party.
Yeah, it's got to be, like, the comparison, it's got to be, like, Ted Nugent or John Bon Jovi, or it's got to be right. Somebody, like, who's been
the
around
living
for
on
a long
prayer,
time.
It's yeah.
Living on a prayer party. It's
the Chappelle Show versus Def Leppard.
Yeah.
Oh, I vote Chappelle.
Yeah.
And they're British, you dummy.
I feel like we're getting there.
I'd vote for the one-armed drummer.
Yeah.
Well,
he'd be all right.
Yeah, he should have won an ESPY award, right, Ross?
Cam's just writing in one-arm drummer.
All right, what else we got? Oh, that's the guy, huh?
Oh, sorry, yep, that's the guy, yep.
So let's discuss this.
He looks right. Hip. He looks with
let's
it.
Let's discuss this. This is like, that outfit looks like a JCPenney's Dio shirt.
Cult
like if Ronnie
leader.
James Dio.
JCPenney's Dio.
It screams cult leader to me.
Yeah, that, he looks like he's going to talk to you all about stretching.
Yeah.
I think it's
before he passes a clutch and play.
I'm curious as to what their music sounds like.
Yeah, you know, we should. I don't know if you can find him on iTunes or anything, but we should.
Looking at. Hold on, I'll pull up on my Apple Music. What's the name of the band?
Hold on. Let me get the Ukrainian name.
ESPY River.
ESPY's River.
ESPY's River.
Let me get the Ukrainian name because it's something different.
This is great television.
Hold on. Nothing. Yeah, this is terrible. Let's go back to making fun of this shaved Yanni motherfucker.
It's Yanni!
He looks like shaved Yanni. I don't know. This is a weird story. Glad I don't live in the Ukraine. What else we got today, Ross?
Okay, so wrapping up. So, a little sad, but I think it's a time for celebration as well. Of course, I think everybody's heard about this. So, Mad Magazine... is folding after 67 years. They've been running since 1952. I actually have that one. That's how old I am. I'm that old.
I'm today years old.
That came out in January 1983.
Did you buy it at the Newsies?
Read all about it.
You probably bought it from Brian at the Newsies.
I was already working there. Yeah.
He's too old.
Raised money to put himself through college.
Yeah.
No, he just got back from the war at that point.
the Grenada.
Yeah. He just came back from Grenada. No, he came back from Nam, but he's been grizzled about it for a while.
The worst in the Korean War.
The worst
last
of the greatest
minutes.
Generation.
the Brian Ball story.
Why is everybody hating on me this morning?
Because you're Brian. The worst in your. An idiot. So.
But yet you keep me here. So what does that mean about you?
I like a foil. I love a foil.
Brian, who would play you in the Brian Ball story?
Probably Jeffrey Tambor. Right?
Yeah.
Rip Taylor.
I could see
Taylor.
That.
Hey. As his character.
I was in the Air Force. They're coming bikes. Ah.
I think Ed Norton is who I would choose.
Ed Norton?
Yeah.
Fair.
Yep.
See? Yeah.
Sure.
Sure.
Hey, I didn't go crazy.
Yeah, that's true. You did.
I didn't
you
say Ryan Reynolds.
I could get Ryan Reynolds in the fat suit to play me, I think.
I wonder if him playing that role would do what it did like the Joker did to Heath Ledger.
Maybe. I don't know. Him?
Just ruined his life.
He just heroin overdoses because of playing Brian.
Oh, I thought you'd say Rocket to Fame.
Rocket to Fame.
Yeah.
I'll Rocket to Fame and then flame out just terribly.
Instantly. Instantaneously.
Yeah, pretty quickly.
Put the crack to the flame is more like it. I feel like this whole situation with Brian picking Edward Norton is a very telling about Brian's psyche. He picked somebody who he knew who he really wants, and it's Mark Wahlberg.
Right.
But he wouldn't tell us.
Right.
And he tried
Mark
to pick
Wahlberg.
Somebody who's like a really good actor that doesn't work a lot, so he could try to like pull one over on us, but we all know who he really picked.
Yeah. Who would play you, Vinny?
Who would play me?
Yeah.
Jeffrey Tambor.
Sure.
All day. Yeah. I'd take Jeffrey Tambor. I think he'd play wonderful.
He's a little older than
Jonah Hill.
Jonah Hill.
Oh,
Jonah Hill
sure.
could be a good Vinny Paulino.
No, he's too good of an actor. Mm. It'd have to be like...
You have to be terrible.
You have to be a terrible actor. Who's a really bad, fat actor?
Ralphie... No.
James Corden.
Yes.
James
Corden will play me in the movie.
Okay.
Who cares? Who cares? It'll probably end up being like Lucasfilm's Muppet version of me.
Yeah.
They'll have to get them involved to be like the Katina scene.
Mm-hmm.
There'll
Ross,
be like three people
play
playing
you?
Me because they're all puppets.
Jason Momoa, probably.
For you?
I think
yeah,
because
he's got those pictures on Instagram where he's like, he doesn't have a six pack now, so that's...
Shoeless Joe would just be one of those poles on a corner with too many posters stuck on it.
Mine would be Fat Thor.
Fat Thor, I can see
that's not a person. you need to learn the difference between real and make believe. Any other stories to say besides we're sad Mad Magazine's
gone? Sad about Mad Magazine, but no, that's it. But we celebrate Mad Magazine, so we go out on a high note.
They had a good run.
They had a
Mad
good
TV.
Run.
The story,
the
is,
medium's just over.
The story is they're dead. You opened up with a death, you closed with a death.
That's how I like to. We like to bring a full circle here at the news desk.
You don't even have a desk.
Who's we?
I have a table.
Who's we?
I have a small stool.
Who is we?
Do you have a staff?
I have people.
No, you don't. Your dogs won't even talk to you.
That's true.
Okay.
That's a good point.
Mine talk to me all the time. They tell me to kill. We will be back next week with our pal Mike Dambra. So hopefully Gracie will make an appearance and prove once again how much smarter she is than Brian. Thank you, Nicole Byer. For those of you who enjoyed the show and made it this far, please rate and review us. We really appreciate it. And we will see you next week. Thank you. Good night.